Either way, it's pretty remarkable. But the scripture just said they crossed the Reed Sea. Wherever it was deep enough that when the water came back, it covered up the chariots and the Egyptian army drowned. So I don't know if they crossed exactly where this map says or somewhere north or south, but they crossed some body of water, and God protected them. Then they did wander in this wilderness, which we now call the Sinai Peninsula, and eventually made it into the land of Canaan, just north of the Dead Sea, which is that body of water you see there next to Moab. They crossed the River Jordan and went in and took Jericho. So during this time of the Judges, we read about the record of Ruth. Now, Ruth lived there pretty much right where that arrow points. If you go right across there and turn left a little bit, you come to Bethlehem, which was just south of Jerusalem. And she was there. This woman named Naomi was there. And she had a husband and two sons. And they were there, but there was a famine. There was no food. So they crossed the River Jordan and went to the land of Moab. And there in the land of Moab, her husband died. So Naomi was there. She died. And in that culture, it was very difficult for widows because, as I mentioned earlier, when talking about Ruth, it was common for the men to transact most of the business. And the women generally stayed in the home and dealt with other women, but usually the only men they would deal with were men in their own family. So it was difficult for a woman if her husband died. But Naomi was okay because she had two grown sons who could take care of her. And her grown sons took wives, one of whom was Ruth. But then her sons died. So now we have three widows living together. Ruth and her sister-in-law and her mother-in-law. And in that culture, it's tough. I mean, it's tough in any culture for a widow. But at least in today's culture, you can get a job and you can transact business and life can go on after a period of adjustment. But it was very difficult in that culture. So Naomi said, look, I'm going to go back to my hometown of Bethlehem. I have some relatives there that will take care of me, but there's really not much I can do for you guys. Why don't you just stay here, go back to your father's houses and see if they can take care of you? But you see, the Old Testament law said that if a man dies without having any children to carry on his name, then one of his brothers should marry his widow. And the first son born, who's born, should carry on the name of the deceased husband. But the problem was, Naomi had no more sons. And she said, girls, what do you mean? Even if I got lucky and got a husband tonight, are you going to wait till I have a son and the son grows up to marry him? Come on. Get a clue. You don't want to wait that long. Go back to your husband's house. And so Ruth's sister-in-law, Orpah, I think was her name, she said, okay, I'll go back and be a Moabite. But Naomi said, wait a minute. I'm going to stay with you and with the true God. I'm sorry, Ruth did. Ruth was sort of like Naomi. let me start over again. Ruth was a little bit like Rahab in that she didn't know that much of the Word of God. She just knew what she'd learned from her husband. But she was willing to stick with what she knew. She grew up in Moab, worshiping false gods. But when she married this Hebrew fella, she learned about the true God, and she was going to stay with the true God. And she said, Naomi, you can't get rid of me. I'm going to stay with you and with the true God. And remember, the law of Moses said that if there's a widow, her husband's family is supposed to provide a husband. And she stuck with that. So they go back, and they trot back across the Jordan River, back to Bethlehem. And Naomi, the mother-in-law, still had some land and a house that she owned from when they lived there before. So they had a place to move back into. And she sent Ruth out to glean in the fields. Because every culture has ways of taking care of people in need. We have all kinds of government assistance programs now. We have charity programs. We have soup kitchens. We have lots of things in our society to take care of people in need. Well, back there, one of the things that was not just in the society, but was actually in the Old Testament law, was that if you were farming in your fields, you could go through the first time and pick the grain, but you couldn't go back a second time and pick up everything you dropped and do cleanup. You had to leave what was there for people in need, for widows, for orphans, for people traveling through town. they could follow through and pick up the leftovers. It was called gleaning, G-L-E-A-N, gleaning. You're able to glean in the fields. You're able to take any of the leftovers. It was a perfectly legitimate thing to do, just glean in the fields. We have things today. You might go to, you know, the bakery and get the day-old stuff on sale. Well, back then it was okay to glean in the fields. That's what they did. So they get there and they get settled back in Bethlehem, and Naomi, the mother-in-law, sends Ruth, the daughter-in-law, out to glean in the fields. So she's gleaning in the fields, and she's picking stuff up, and the landowner shows up and says, "Who's that young woman over there working so hard gleaning in the fields?" And his workers say, "Oh, that's Ruth. She came back to help Naomi get settled. And look what Boaz," this guy's name is Boaz, "look what he goes and says to her." Let's see if we can find that. Ruth chapter 1, 2, Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her," unto Ruth, who's out gleaning, she's picking up the leftovers in the field, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity," the land of your birth, "and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." You came unto a bunch of strangers in a strange land. "The Lord," verse 12, "recompense or repay thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." He was just so impressed that she was willing to leave her land and her people to come trust in the true God and be with God's people. And he just said, "May the Lord bless you and take care of you." And he gives her all sorts of extra food besides what she picked up. And he said, "Come here anytime you want. I'll tell my young men to not bother you. Come sit at our lunch table. Drink out of our water jug. You're welcome anytime." And Ruth goes home with this huge bunch of grain. Naomi says, "Boy, you really scored. Where'd you get all that? How'd you do all that in one day? You're one heck of a gleaner." And Ruth says, "Well, I met this landowner who was really nice. He just gave me all this extra stuff. His name was Boaz." Naomi says, "Boaz? He's one of our closest relatives. This is amazing. And he likes you? I'll tell you what you've got to do. Go up to him tonight, because after they're done harvesting the grain, they'll go to the threshing floor. That's where they take it and they thresh it to separate the wheat from the chaff. And all the men will lie down. And you go in and ask him to put his mantle on you." That's the sort of scarf thing they wore, a garment, which was a sign of protection. And if a relative would put this on a widow, it was a sign of protection that he would redeem her from her widowhood. That's why Boaz is called the kinsman redeemer. And see if he is willing to do that. Because remember, the law said that if a widow is a widow, becomes a widow, woman becomes a widow, the husband's family is responsible to provide another husband. And although Naomi had no more sons, this guy was a cousin. She just said, "Go up and ask him to put his garment on you to show he'll redeem you from your widowhood." So she goes up there at night after they drunk a little bit and they were going to sleep, and she lies down by his feet. So looks up and says, "Who's there?" And it's Ruth. And he says, "Yes, I'm happy to redeem you from your widowhood. But the problem is there's one guy who's a little closer as a relative than I am. He sort of has first right of refusal. There's a very clear pecking order there. And this other guy who was a closer relative had the right to marry her, and along with her came the land that was in her deceased husband's family. It was a little more commercial than we are today. I'll marry you because you own these condos over here." Well, that's sort of the way it was. It was along with the wife came the land. Well, let's read a little bit about that. So he said, just hang in there. So chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read this, and this will get us right up to lunchtime. Oh, boy. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by." This is the one relative who was closer and had the first right to marry Ruth if he wanted to. "The kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and sat down here, and they sat down. See, that's sort of how they did a lot of their legal transactions. The elders would sit in the gate of the city, and they would witness transactions. Today we have notary publics and, you know, file your records at the courthouse. And back then they just had a bunch of the elders sit down and witness transactions. So he invited 10 guys to sit down and listen. Verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. That was Naomi's deceased husband. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, if you want to buy it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he, the other relative, said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, there's one hitch, one little piece of fine print here. Then Boaz said, verse 5, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. It's the way you keep the husband of Ruth's name alive, is to have the first son be named after him. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. The guy says, on second thought, marrying a Moabitess, I don't think I want to do that. You go ahead. Now, we'll find out in a minute maybe why Boaz wasn't scared about marrying a Moabitess, but we'll get there. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. They'd take their shoe off in certain kinds of deals to confirm it. And let's read, actually, if you have a center reference, this is a place where center references are sometimes useful. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 7. And we'll read in the case of a widow what taking the shoe off means. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 25. Oh, by the way, have you noticed today we pretty much just read the Bible? The vast majority of the Bible interprets itself right where it's written if you just read it. I know there's a lot of verses that are confusing and we got to pull out a zillion concordances, but there's so much that if you just read it, it makes perfect sense. So Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 7. Or verse 5, actually. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders. If a woman is a widow and her brother-in-law will not take her as wife, he's to go to the elders in the gate. Verse 7, if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it, if he's firm, and say, I like not to take her, then shall her brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face. That's what the widow should do. Take his shoe off and spit in his face. We have some interesting legal transactions in our country, but I've never seen one where if somebody won't do what he's supposed to, you take his shoe off and spit in his face. Well, that's what they're supposed to do here. Take his shoe off, spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. That terrible man. And you just thought if your shoe came untied, you'd tie your lace again. Well, back then it was a big deal. So they seem to have mellowed out a little bit by the time we get here in Ruth. He simply took his shoe off and handed it to Boaz, and that sealed the deal. Says, I don't want to marry her, so take my shoe. And he gave him his shoe. And that was the end of the deal. Maybe if Ruth had been there, she would have spit in his face. I don't know. But she wasn't there. So he just took his shoe off, gave it to Boaz. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. Those are the two sons of Naomi. And all of the Chilions and Mahlons of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come unto thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two, Rachel and Leah, did, those are the two wives of Jacob, or Israel, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Remember, this is a woman who grew up worshiping false gods or learning about false gods in Moab, married a Hebrew man who then died. She was a widow living with two other widows in a land of pagans. Yet she chose to stay with the true God. And now she's back among the believers, a wonderful relative named Boaz, who recognized her confidence in the true God, has married her, and now she has a son. And it gets better. Verse 14, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't that radical? So not only did she get redeemed from her widowhood, she ended up being the grandmother of King David. Or maybe the great-grandmother of King David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And who is Boaz's mother? Rahab. So I'm thinking maybe that's why Boaz wasn't scared about marrying a Moabite, a foreigner. Because his mother was a foreigner. His mother was from Jericho. And Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. If you go back to Matthew 1, there are only about three women mentioned in that whole genealogy of Jesus Christ. And every one of them was a woman who just determined to stay with the promises of God. Ruth, Rahab, and I think that daughter of Judah was the other one. I forget her name. Tamar. Every one of them, they were just women who just said, to heck with it. I'm going to stick and trust God. And they did. Incredible women, every single one of them. Well, that's a great record. That's just a little bit about the book of Judges. Let's just review a little bit what we've covered, and then we'll go to lunch. And I think we'll take about an hour and come back at 2. But let's finish this quick review first. We read a little bit about Genesis, about Abraham, about Noah. Abraham mentioned Isaac and Jacob. Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob. Under Moses, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't believe that God could get them in the first year, which he would have done. Then that generation died off in the wilderness. Then the next generation was willing to believe God and went across the Jordan into the promised land under Joshua. They chased a lot of the unbelievers out. Then in the book of Judges, it was a bit of a roller coaster. When they believed God, God took care of them. When they didn't, God couldn't do anything for them. And the neighboring countries overran them. And one of the things that happened was Gideon was one of the judges. And also during that period, in spite of how tumultuous it was, God was able to take care of Naomi and Ruth because they believed in the true God. So it's been a great morning, and I believe Larry now will tell us about lunch.